Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is written in the first chapter of the first letter of John, beginning at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is our text. Two preliminary remarks. First, we do well to remember that whenever we review what God demands of us, we can expect to be shown our sin and to be condemned by God's law. And our old nature find that an extremely unpleasant experience. That's why we frequently neglect the hearing of God's word. The law accuses us of sin, and the old Adam doesn't like to learn about his wickedness. He would rather learn and study about something else, anything else. In fact. Secondly, the word love probably is understood in so many different ways that it is impossible to list all of them. Meaning different things to different people, love is the topic of countless popular songs, of novels, and of movies. It's a word that occurs frequently in magazines, and in virtually everyone's conversation at one time or another. This morning, since the word love occurs 11 times in just the 5 short verses of our text, we want to attune our minds and hearts and souls to what God says about it. On the basis of his word, then let us consider the theme. Now, this is love. A first look at our theme leads us to confess our sinfulness. For God's word regarding our love is very clear. We ought to love him and one another perfectly. As Jesus summarized the law for the Pharisees, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So on the one hand, we have love for God, which is demanded of us. This love for God involves a longing to be close to God and at peace with him. This love for God is an attitude of yearning, yearning for God's visible presence and rejoicing in his invisible presence even now. It's a dynamic attitude. So it moves the person to do whatever God says is right and best. Again, as Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. On the other hand, we are to love one another. Loving one another involves a longing to be in close fellowship and at peace with each other. It's an attitude of yearning. Yearning for harmony with people and valuing highly their welfare. It too is a dynamic attitude, for it moves the person to work for the benefit of others and to do what God says is right and best for them, even if it means death for oneself. For greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Now, if this is love, we can see that we have much sin to confess. We have not loved God and one another the way that God demands us to. Time upon time, we have sought benefit merely for ourselves. Our sinful nature, in fact, is trapped in a vicious circle of selfishness and cannot avoid disobeying God's law and earning God's condemnation. For the law says that we should desire and work for the welfare and benefits of others, and nearness to God if we are to receive God's kindness. But when we try to obey the law in order to gain this kindness of God for ourselves, we are only sinning all the more. We're not obeying the law at all. Motivated by selfishness, the harder we try, the more we sin. The more we sin, the more punishment we fear. The more punishment we fear, the harder we try to gain some benefit for ourselves, and the more firmly sin has us in its grasp. Such is our condition by nature, and such it would remain were it not for a loving and merciful God. For this is love, our text says, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. A first look at our sin leads us to confession, but a second look brings us consolation. In Christ, God has reason to love us despite the fact that we by nature have loved neither him nor one another. For Christ Jesus himself satisfied the wrath of God against our lovelessness. He carried our selfishness to his death on the cross of Calvary. He is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of all the world. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a truly good person someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet loveless sinners, Christ died for us, in our place, as our substitute, to be the ransom price that rescued us from our sins. And so in Christ, without our prior obedience to God's law, there is peace with us before God. There is the assurance of God's blessing. There is the gospel, the good news that the Son of God became man and bore all evils in his body on the tree, that we might receive the fullness of good, we and a world of otherwise hopeless sinners. Jesus was moved by a love which yearned to bring everyone into close fellowship and harmony with his Father. And so he patiently carried out his mission, taking no account of the wrongs he suffered, going through death itself, the most dreadful reality, in order to win for us life with God, the most blessed gift. Always, in every moment of his life, Jesus worked for and desired our good. Suffering, dying, rising again to guarantee that the satisfaction for our sin and selfishness would be sufficient and complete. And what a consolation that is to us who must confess our major lovelessness. What a wondrous salvation we celebrate during this Eastertide and always. For as surely as Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, so surely are our sins forgiven and eternal blessings won for us. Now this is love indeed. A first look at our sins led us to confession. A second look brought us consolation. A third look reminds us of the intended consequences. By the mercies of God, we who have been brought to faith by the Holy Spirit through the sacrament of baptism and the gospel, we who gather here this morning to be strengthened and confirmed in faith through the gospel and the supper of our Lord, we who rejoice in the love of God for us, we can now love God and one another from the heart. Without faith, such love is impossible for us. Fallen nature is too weak to resist the wiles of the devil and its own inclination toward selfishness and pride. Christ's power is needed for victory, and Christ's victory is what we have. While we were yet in our sins, we had no desire to be close to God, because we feared his righteous anger and his punishment. We were like Adam in the Garden of Eden, fleeing before the presence of God. We despised the thought of doing what he says is right and best, for we were convinced that we knew what is right and best. But we who were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. God has consoled us with the revelation of his love in his Son. He has revealed himself as someone to be cherished and loved and tended, not feared and hated. Because he first loved us, and reached out in that love to save us, we now love him. That's one of the consequences. And another is that we now love one another. Our innate determination to gain benefits for ourselves has lost its reason for existence in the midday darkness of Golgotha. The God of the universe holds each of us lovingly in the hollow of his hands, and for Christ's sake grants us every benefit and blessing from eternity to eternity. As believers in our loving Savior, we therefore are free to desire and work for the welfare and benefit of others by doing what God says is right and best for them. No matter that it will often seem as if treating others in love will deprive us of some benefit or blessing, for we have a loving Savior who has promised us other love. While we can even freely desire and wish for the welfare of someone who is trying to do evil against us, for our benefit and blessing does not depend upon what we gain for ourselves. We have every benefit and blessing as a result of the love of Christ for us. Because God first loved us, we can now love one another. Now, this is love. Not as we must confess that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if we have the consolation that God loves us in Christ, let us also love him and one another. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.